that we would experience a revival, a renewing, a refreshing, a reigniting in our hearts of that purpose. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Joining with me there in Psalm 40, and yes, we're still there. Amen. Psalm 40. This might be the last night that we're in this chapter. It's up to the Lord, but I'm feeling inclined that God would have us to move on this week, starting tomorrow, and then, of course, concluding on Friday. Psalm 40. It's been quite a journey this week, hasn't it? Preaching about a revival of perspective and remembering who the Lord is and not losing that focus of who He is and what He's capable of doing. Sunday night, preaching about a revival of patience and having a heart that is going to eagerly look for the Lord and hope in God and tarry for Him even in the darkest hour. That our hearts would cry out, that we would experience a revival of prayer. That we would cast our care upon the Lord, knowing that He cares for us, that He will hear our prayers, hearken unto our prayers, and that He will heed our prayers. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Isn't that a blessing? It's not a hit and miss thing. And as Pastor said, you don't have to worry about being concerned that God is just an 8-to-5 God, that you'd have to leave your message after the beep and hope He'll get back with you. Never getting a busy signal with the Lord, but rather instantaneously being able to get into that throne room of grace. Boldly entering, and God is going to be fascinated with every single word that you say in prayer unto Him. Tonight we find, as we're preaching about a revival of purpose and a revival of pursuing the will of God, pursuing the lost and God's work for our lives. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, have a reverence and a respect and awe of God as a result of simply your testimony, and shall trust in the Lord." They're going to put their life, their heart, everything in God. They're going to trust in Jesus. Amen. The Bible says now, jumping down if we could here to verse number 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation." The lives that you've put in my path, the people that you want me to share with, the good news of salvation and all that you are, your goodness and your gospel, your greatness, this audience that you have entrusted unto me. These coworkers, these neighbors, these family members, these friends, these people that I interact with on a daily basis, the divine appointments of life, this congregation, oh God, my testimony and my heart's desire is to be a preacher. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? We asked that question last night, just doing a quick review. How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And you answer me this, how in the world are they going to hear unless someone opens up their mouth? Amen. Unless someone is going to let their light shine, unless someone is going to be the instrument and the vessel for the glory of God. To be a voice in our generation. We're living in a dark day. We'll be preaching about that tonight. And all that the Lord would stir our hearts to be preachers this evening. Notice in verse number 9, verse number 10, then we'll pray. He says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us now. Lord, just for the next handful of minutes that we have, I pray tonight that we would put everything else out of our mind tonight. Lord, that we would simply focus on you. God, I believe in order for us to hear, as we mentioned Sunday, in order for us to hear that still small voice, Lord, I pray that's why we're here tonight. Lord, we're not here just to check something off a list and our lives are being consumed with religion, but rather we have something that's real. That our Christian faith, being a child of God, it is a lifestyle. It's something that we've embraced. This is who we are. Not a mask, a facade that we put on and put off. But God, tonight, I pray that we would understand to hear that still small voice, we must become still. We must become small. God, I pray that every heart in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, that we would humble ourselves to Thee. God, that we would incline unto Thee. Lord, that we would open up our minds and allow You to speak to us. And God, I pray that You'll have liberty to walk up and down the aisles and among the pews this evening. We ask for Your anointing power, that unction, that fresh oil. In Jesus' name I pray,
Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Last night we preached about the purpose that God has for every single person in this room. That as a child of God, so many times, unfortunately, people think, well, you know, God didn't call me to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist, not to be in some kind of full-time ministry, as in that is my occupation. But we understand tonight that even though the specific will of God will differ and vary for every person, that God wants us all to be full-time Christians. That from the pulpit of the pew, He has a calling upon your life. And we briefly noticed at the end of the message last night that the calling of God, how that He has chosen you and He has ordained you. He has handpicked you out of the crowd. He has people that He wants you to reach that no one else will be able to touch. Lives that He wants you to influence, people that He wants you to intercede for, circumstances and situations and decisions in crossroads, if you will, in our communities and in everyday life where we can be involved to steer this old nation, to steer this old dark and dying community back toward the ways of righteousness for His name's sake. I don't know if you caught some of those words that we used tonight. Involved. Interceding. Just a couple. And how that the Bible teaches us that we need to be in this world, but not of it. And using that word in, if I can take liberty with the English language, amen, what a mutt it is, right? of dialects, of languages. But using that word in and transforming it briefly as a prefix, that we as Christians, that we should not be of this world, we should not be blending in with this world, but when people interact with us, they should see something different about our lives, and it's not because we've got our noses stuck way up in the air and we're full-time Pharisees, but rather we're full-time, faithful, and fervent servants for Jesus Christ, man, passionate about letting our light shine, about being salt, and becoming who we were meant to be as Christians, that we are integrated in this society. As we demonstrated last night, kind of like a special forces team where God has taken us and scattered us throughout our communities to influence and to reach lives that no one else will be able to do and reach. And the reason I'm taking the time and reminding you this is two reasons. One, the Lord's telling me to do it. Amen. And number two, some of us weren't able to be here last night, and I wanted to bring you up to speed so we can quickly continue on with this message so everything makes sense tonight. Are you with me? Would you say amen? Okay. But as we, and if I could have just two volunteers tonight, demonstrated that we've got a lot of different occupations represented in this room. Is there a man that works a job, a secular job? Would you raise your hand? Someone different from last night. You work a job. Yes, sir? Trainer. All right. In what field, if I may ask? Retail, fantastic, all right? And then is there a lady that works a secular job? Would you raise your hand? Is there a lady? Yes, ma'am. Records technician. Now, what do we have here? We have two different forms of employment, two different jobs, occupations, vocations. And if, as we did last night, if I may presume, 99% of the people he is working with and interacts with, she'll never meet in her life. And vice versa. And God did not place you, my dear brother, in the lives of those people. But God has entrusted her to reach those people, to be faithful in her testimony, in her walk with God, in being that light, in being that child of God, being in this world, amen. We could take this example and run rampant across the room and see how that God wants to use you. He didn't call the person across the way. He didn't tap, if you will, the brother in the aisle in front of you on the shoulder to reach those people, but rather God very specifically and uniquely, I believe this tonight, handpicked and chose you for you to reach those people. As He said in John 15:16, Jesus says, I have chosen you and I have ordained you. I have handpicked you out of the large audience and crowd. I want you to reach these people, no one else. And I'm excited because I can use you beyond your wildest imagination. Right here, this dear brother holding his precious daughter in his lap. Right there, marriages that you can restore and lives that you can help transform and people that you can disciple. Oh, it's wonderful tonight to understand the eternal purpose that God has for our life. And all that would be careful not to get bogged down in the busyness of life, but understand that everything should be about the Father's business. And ultimately, our vocation, our job is not the end of things. a vicious cycle of working 40 to 60 to 70 even hours a week, and it's like going through the grind, but rather it is a means to an end, ultimately, to fulfill an eternal calling. Are you with me? How that God said that this calling, that it is a high calling. It's the greatest thing that you could possibly ever do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. And everything we do for Jesus Christ, everything that God would have us to do for his glory, understand your work. It's not in vain. You realize that God is not seeking to occupy our time with busy work? Have you ever done that with your children? You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, you know they're not going to be able to get the job done right. So, you know, to make them feel like they're doing something. Okay, son, go ahead and hold the screwdriver. Try to figure this out for me real quick while I'm actually assembling the crib, you know? Or I'm doing this with the dresser. I'm not going to entrust it with you. That's not the Lord. He's not seeking just to occupy your time so you feel good. Oh, yeah, I'm actually doing something for Jesus. No, you are. You are doing something for Jesus. And it's not empty or pointless or hollow or shallow or good for nothing or a waste of your time, but rather your work, your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Amen. What a blessing. And every day as I get to do what it is that God would have me to do, whether it's being a servant, involved in the ministry, being a soul winner, being a soldier of the cross, standing for Jesus and earnestly contending for the faith, being a steward, and these are things that we preached about briefly last night, whatever aspect of the will of God and the work of God that he has for me, praise the Lord tonight, it's making an eternal impact, it's leaving ripples, it's leaving a mark upon my generation. Whew, that's overwhelming, really. I think about this important area of soul winning. We made some statements, made some observations last night. And if I could, and I wasn't intending to do any of this, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord tonight. There was a statement that we made that I thought of the other day, and man, how my heart was burdened and pressed as churches were eager to be involved in soul winning. What is the opposite of soul winning? Soul losing. And honestly, I wonder if we're guilty of more soul losing than soul winning. I don't know tonight, it's just a question. Are we being as engaged as we ought to be? Influencing and informing and inspiring and entreating and inviting? Having a friend day coming up soon? Man, let's pray. I beg of you, I'm being so serious right now. I'm telling you, we need to begin to pray right now. Men getting together with men and turning off ESPN for a little while. There's nothing wrong with that, but it has its proper place, and prayer is more important. That men would get together. I presume you have a men's prayer meeting every week. I don't know. It's one of the most sacred time of our men's get-togethers at church at Marion Avenue Baptist every week. Man, you just, even if it's not a church-wide thing, that men would just text each other, you get together. Not just the older men of the church, but rather my generation, the teenagers would get together, the men and women, we as a family, as body believers, that we would get together and pray, that we would provoke or encourage one another unto good works, and that we would have a vehement desire to see this auditorium packed. I'm telling you tonight, see this auditorium packed on Friend Day, and we should not rest until we have invited every single person we possibly can. I'm talking about the church running out of invitations. Amen. I'm talking about us having them in our pockets and in our billfolds and man, in our purses. And just for the ladies, of course, with the purses. But man, or okay, and you get it. And going out of man, giving them to people. And man, not just going through the formality of just, oh, here you go. But man, there being a burning in your heart, a twinkle in your eye. Man, where you make eye contact with that person and you sincerely, genuinely invite them, make them feel warm and welcome to come to this Bible preaching church, soul saving station. Amen. We need that. If you haven't invited anybody out yet, I compel you and I beg of you, please. Please. Someone's life is on the line. Not just their eternal destiny, folks, but their life. Because, see, when they become a new creature, old things are passed away, all things become new. Doesn't mean that they suddenly drop addictions and they're all of a sudden, you know, showing up at the church 3 times a week. There is growth there. We all know that, right? but how their lives can become transformed through that transformative work of Jesus Christ in their heart. And you can see an entire family saved and salvaged as a result of simply being faithful. I think about this, and bear with me tonight. I know you are. But I think about this, and the Lord really wants me to say this. Over there in Isaiah 55, I want you to look at this briefly tonight. Isaiah 55, verse number 17. I want you to see this. Isaiah 55. Just letting the reality of the wording of the Bible soak in. Amen? Whew, this is rich. Isaiah 55. Let's start in verse number 8, and this will tie together with what we preached on Sunday night concerning the thoughts of God. That was a wonderful truth, wasn't it? Plenteous, precious, and peaceful thoughts toward you. Specifically, verse number 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Praise the Lord. And whatever I think is best, God far supersedes that. And my dreams and my goals and my ambitions and my vision of what maybe I could accomplish for God in my life, man, God is light years ahead. Woo! Amen? Praise the Lord! It's wonderful! Going on in verse number 10, he says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to eat to the eater." I like those last couple words. Amen? The bread to the eater. I'm a little hungry. We may have to stop at Panera Bread on the way back to the hotel tonight. No, I'm just joking. But is you've never seen rain go the opposite way, have you? All the soil is dry and parched, and we're in a desert and all this kind of stuff. All the green leaves are withering before our eyes. Opposite happening? No. Come on. No, we've never seen that. We've always seen it come down. Bring that life, that green, that vibrancy, that growth, the fruit, being able to see that fruit become a product that is used for the well-being of others. It's wonderful, isn't it? Notice what God says in verse number 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." If I may ask tonight, shame on me for not having one, does anyone have a gospel track? Anybody have a gospel track? This might be really bad, all right? Anybody tonight? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be first? No. All right, thank you, Mrs. Hansen. It's okay. Gospel track right here. Thank you so much. Do you realize on the back, there is a plan of salvation, the Word of God. If I may use this by way of application and illustration tonight, do you realize that every single time that we pass out a gospel track, that our work is not in vain, but His Word will not return void. But as we distribute these tracts, and as it leaves our hands and goes into the hand of another, or rests in a place, or goes in the crack of a door where God asked us and convicted us and led us to put it, it is going to do something, just like rain coming down from heaven, bringing green and growth. It will never, never be void or for naught. You'll say, well, what about exactly putting the tract in the door? Nobody was home. I went out soul winning for an hour, and man, there was just like two or three people that answered the door, and they really even weren't that interested. And wow, it feels like a waste of time. Was it? Well, according to the doctrine of the Word of God, the principles of the Bible, it's never a waste of time to pass out a track. Because you have no idea of the power of the Word of God, the potency that lies within this. Because after all, we don't save anybody, right? It's the Word of God that illuminates. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts and then draws His creation and loving kindness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's awesome. We get to be a part of that. Amen. And sometimes we can be the specific mailman. Amen? My brother in the back. We'll be able to be that mailman where we can, or that introducer, where we can show the sinner how to come to the Savior and say, sinner, here's Jesus. Jesus, here's the sinner. Now, y'all go ahead and meet. And oh, I'm excited to sit back and watch this miracle take place in front of me. Where they're being, as the Bible says in the New Testament, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise God tonight. Every time we see someone saved, we see a miracle. Name being written down in the Lamb's book of life, never to be erased. Becoming that new creature. But tonight, if we could, get back to the concept of just a track. That this right here is going to accomplish something for the glory of God. I believe 95% of the time we'll never, even more than that, 97-98% of the time, we'll never know what God will do with it. But understand this, that we have the validity of Scripture that it shall prosper. It shall not return void. And it shall accomplish. I live in Iowa. I'm really a city slicker. I've only lived there for the past 8 years. Unacquainted with all this farming stuff, but I definitely love eating sweet corn, that's for sure. Wow, the farmer's markets? Well, guess what? You plant the seed, it ain't going to be tomorrow that you're going to get the full ears and the big stalks. It takes time. Doesn't the Word of God teach us that? That we need to plant the seed and then water the seed and then sow the seed? Didn't I share with you the other night how that it takes an average of 7 times to witness to someone in America before they trust Christ as their Savior? But to consider that people get saved just by reading this right here. Did you know that? I'm thinking right now, and we're going to be at their church this Sunday, Brother Borner. He has a deacon in his church, wonderful family, wonderful man, he and his wife. All 4 of his children are grown, and they're faithfully involved in church, and their children, their grandchildren are saved, and man, it's just wonderful, wonderful family. Always a joy to be around them. He shared with me his testimony. He said, you know, he said, I was, as a young man out Saturday, one Saturday, I was helping my friend with a construction project at his house. It began to rain outside, kind of like it did earlier today, if you saw the rain coming down out your window. He said, we had to stop work, and he said, so I went into the house and grabbed myself a cold beer and sat down on the front steps of his porch. And there, as I was just soaking in the coolness of that Saturday morning, I noticed a pamphlet. I noticed a piece of paper laying, and if I could, by demonstration, use this as a bifold, I saw this piece of paper laying open, face down, in a puddle in the sidewalk in front of my friend's house. He said, I had nothing else better to do, so I went over there, and I grabbed that soppy, wet piece of paper, and I noticed as I went back to go sit down and laid it on my knee that it was something about Jesus. It was something about the Bible. It was something about heaven and hell. It was a gospel tract. There, as my one hand drifted down, if you will, the sentences and the scripture that was there in that gospel tract, and then the beer in the other, the Holy Spirit of God convicted me, and I got saved. Now, let me ask you this question. How did that tract get there? Now, if it was me and David going soul winning, I could probably guess. Not this. I would never call you by your first name. But I'm talking about my son. For those of you who are confused, no, nobody was. But David, you know, walking behind me and stuff, you know, throwing tracks. Hey, sow the seed. I don't know of anybody who's going to walk around saying, oh, God, I know that you'll bless this track, please, and taking a handful of tracks and throwing them up in the air. That's foolish, right? I don't know how that track got there. Maybe it was put in a door, and the wind providentially caught it. I don't know. I'm just theorizing. Maybe someone had it in their back pocket like a kid, you know, someone handed it to him, and then as he was riding along, because there was a puddle in the sidewalk, that must have meant that there was a pothole or some kind of a, you know, if you will, and so it was bumpy. I'm sure it wasn't smooth, and maybe, just maybe, as he was riding along on that sidewalk, the track fell out of his pocket. All I know is this. That track was sitting right there in front of that house. I believe God put it there. And the original soul winner who had that track as he was being faithful and just doing what God would have him to do had no idea, and still to this day has no idea. One day heaven will reveal. Amen. It's going to be a joyous celebration. I personally would like to be there to witness them meet each other. Be fired up. But that soul winner had no idea, no knowledge that God would use that track that he left behind somewhere at some place or gave to someone, and God would use it to save a man. And then his wife, and then all four of his children, and all of his grandchildren. Just by one person being faithful with a track. You have no idea how you're influencing eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God tonight. It's going to prosper. It's going to accomplish. It's never, never going to return void. Our work is not in vain. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think about a gentleman that we were preaching a revival meeting out in California in I think it was January, out in Simi Valley. The church was like less than 2 miles from the Ronald Reagan Library, and man, it was awesome to be able to go to that and see that. But we were preaching a revival meeting out there, and there was a gentleman that came up to me after the service and said, you know, he said, I got saved from a track. He said, I had a coworker that on lunch break, there in the break room, every once in a while at our factory where we worked, he would give me gospel tracts from his church. This gentleman said, he said, I had no interest in God. I had wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And every single time, it wasn't every day, but over a period of time, hit and miss here and there. And I believe it was because the Christian was being sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But as this Christian was giving his coworker this gospel tract, waiting for that right opportune moment, that coworker would accept it and then, keeping the eye contact, would take it and rip it up in front of him and throw it into the trash. Every single time. Every single time. That coworker does not realize, the Christian coworker didn't realize that after this saved man left the room, this lost man, this atheist, if you will, this person who wanted nothing to do with God, would then go to the trash and pick out the track that he threw in there because he was ashamed. And he put it in his lunch pail every single time. And over a period of time, God began to work on that old hard heart, and that heart of stone began to soften it. And as a result of that man's faithfulness in giving his coworker tracts, he wound up getting saved. Don't quit. Sometimes it's going to take a lot of work and consistency, but that is what God is looking for in this generation. God is looking for soul winners, people who are going to get engaged, people who are going to be involved, people who are going to experience a revival and a refreshing and a renewing and a reigniting of simply tonight, simply just passing out gospel tracts. When's the last time you've loaded up your billfold? When's the last time we put him in the car just waiting to go through that drive-thru or go through that toll booth so that way we could speak a word of love to that cashier and to that person at McDonald's or Wendy's or wherever it is that you'd go? Panera Bread has a drive-thru, by the way. But that you would be faithful in your witness, because God is going to use it some way, somehow, to make an eternal difference and an impact. Honestly, are we guilty of more soul losing than soul winning? So I want my life to count for Jesus. Even when we are rejected, and even when the door is slammed in our face, you have no idea how God will use that moment and that encounter to convict the heart. Have you ever thought of that? God will use that some way, somehow, to slowly but surely draw them unto himself. Now, folks, I have no idea. Zero. We've not talked about this. I have no idea what the soul winning program of this church is. I have no idea how often you go soul winning. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm just preaching what the Lord told me to preach. And it was completely different than what I was intending to preach tonight, but I appreciate you being patient and gracious and listening this evening as we've minded the Lord. There's two things that have stuck out to me tonight in conclusion. Number one, it's time that we get serious about Friend Day. I presume you are, but for some reason, God is really pressing that on me tonight. Why? Because, listen, I've been a part of big days. And guess what the Spirit is? Yeah, I need to be involved with that, and yeah, we need to do a great outreach. I'm guessing Brother So-and-so is going to be doing a great job inviting out. Oh, I heard that so-and-so, the brother that spoke about it Monday night or Sunday night or whatever it was, all the nights are starting to run together a little bit. But man, the brother that was speaking on Sunday night, yeah, he said that he already invited out four people. That's wonderful, wonderful. But every single time we're saying, oh yeah, praise the Lord for him and that and the other, every single time you're pointing a finger, there's three pointing back at you. What are you doing for Friend Day? Talk to the Holy Spirit about that tonight. I beg of you tonight to think of a specific person, to have a literal face in your mind, that as we go into invitation here in just a brief moment, that you will pray for boldness and for opportunity to give that person an invitation, a moment where you can have an actual conversation with them and that you could sincerely and genuinely invite them. In the world, but not of it, invite them to church and to sit with you. Take them out to lunch. I got to spend money. Yeah. Isn't it worth it? Given it shall be given unto you. And when you give, God's going to give you a whole bunch more back. And secondly, that we would be faithful with the distribution of gospel tracts. This community needs to be flooded. Well, they've already gotten them before. We've already knocked the doors before. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. We should never rest. We should never stop until every single person is saved. And even though they reject and they reject and they reject, we lovingly follow the Lord and we ask for another opportunity and another opportunity because He is the God of the 10th chance. Hey, bam. And that we would not stop until either we've died or they've died. How shall they call in Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except there be a preacher, someone who's going to go? Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll bless these thoughts tonight. Lord, I pray that as a result of the decisions that we'll make in our hearts tonight, God, You will use this church in a wonderful way to see people saved. In the days to come, weeks to come, even years to come, Lord, oh, that our teenagers would get on fire for God and soul winning. God, that we as husbands, we as fathers would lead our home and go soul winning. Take our children with us. And those as single ladies, Lord, and those who have extra time on their hands, whoever they may be tonight, even a college and career category, God, that we would just die to self for a little while, and even though we have hobbies and pursuits, that, God, we would just put that on hold just for a bit, and that we would put You first. God, I'm almost ashamed to say this, but God, that we would carve out time for kingdom work. God, I pray that we would embrace the life calling of soul winning. God, that we would equip ourselves, we would arm ourselves with gospel tracts, we'd be faithful in passing them out to the cashiers and people that we meet, and as the Lord taps us on our shoulder, God, that we'd be faithful, knowing that it shall accomplish, it shall prosper, it will not return void. Lord, You want every person saved. Lord, as we mentioned last night, help us to not be practicing Calvinists. Lord, help us as we look back over our lives to, yes, have been truly engaged in soul winning, not in soul losing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Is there someone tonight, if I may ask specific questions? Is there someone tonight who would say, Brother Caleb, I'm going to, from this day forward to Friend Day, begin to faithfully and fervently pray for God to get all over that day and for something wonderful to happen? That's me. I'm going to begin to faithfully pray for this meeting. Would you raise your hand? Don't raise your hand if you don't mean it. That's me. God bless you. Is there someone tonight who would say, Brother Caleb, God has opened my mind and he's really just renewed, refreshed, revived me, reignited within me the importance of passing out gospel tracts. And tonight God has really, really burned that within me. And tonight God spoke to my heart about being faithful even in that simple area of passing out tracts. You say, Brother Caleb, that's me. Would you raise your hand? Is there someone like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Is there someone tonight, if I may ask just two more questions? I appreciate your sensitivity tonight, but is there someone who'd say, Brother Caleb, God has convicted me just about soul winning in general. Soul winning in general. I haven't seen anybody saved yet this year, maybe. I don't know. But I desire to see at least one person come to the saving knowledge of Christ this year. God has really convicted me about my soul winning and being faithful in my witness and looking for the divine appointment. That's me. Would you raise your hand? Is there someone like that tonight? Hands across the room. God bless you. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not looking around tonight trying to see who's raising hands, who's not. That's not my business. Last question. Brother Caleb, as you were preaching tonight, there were specific people. Maybe it was just one person, or you say there are specific people that God placed in my heart to genuinely invite out to Friend Day and do everything I can to try to get them to church for that special day that the Lord spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Is there someone like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so excited. The devil's so upset, but I'm so excited. God is so excited. God is rubbing his hands together. He is pumped. He can't wait to use you. It's wonderful. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor Clear, would you come and lead us in invitation tonight?